Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you can have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Breaking news tonight. All four officers charged. After 8 days of nationwide anger over the death of George Floyd, former officer Derek Chauvin now faces a new, more severe charge, murder in the second degree. The three other fired officers charged with aiding and abetting murder. Tonight, the punishment they could face and whether the Floyd family believes it's enough. America reacts. Crowds erupt following the announcement of the charges.
We got all four!
As thousands of demonstrators march in cities across the country, including in Washington, D.C., which has seen a heavy military presence. Breaking with the president, how the White House is reacting after the defense secretary said, we don't need active duty military in D.C. Then why tonight he reversed a decision to send the troops home. A new generation of civil rights leaders. They tell us their goals and what comes next after demonstrating. Plus, former President Barack Obama holds a town hall on how to turn protest into policy.
You have the power to make things better.
Racing to a cure, Dr. Anthony Fauci on when the first doses of a coronavirus vaccine will be available, as health experts say cases will rise in the next 2 weeks. And reflections on the promise of America. Powerful words tonight from decades ago that still resonate.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. We are going to begin tonight with breaking news. Minnesota's attorney general is increasing the charges against former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin to second-degree murder in the death of George Floyd. Tonight, Chauvin is facing up to 40 years in jail, with his bail now set at $1 million. Prosecutors are also charging the three other officers who were at the scene of Floyd's death with aiding and abetting murder. Attorney General Keith Ellison said late today that getting a conviction would be difficult, but he vowed to seek justice. Video of Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes set off a firestorm nationwide, sparking protests that continued overnight and throughout the day today. And while most of those demonstrations, including a moment of silence here in Washington, have been largely peaceful, curfews remain in effect tonight in several major cities, including New York, D.C., and L.A. And tensions are still high as we come on the air, with National Guard troops on the ground in 31 states and active duty military on standby at bases ringing the nation's capital. That's also leading to a standoff between the president and his defense secretary, Mark Esper, who says he doesn't support using troops to stop protests, even as President Trump is vowing to use what he calls dominant force to maintain law and order. As you can tell, there's a lot to get to tonight, and so our team of correspondents are standing by all across the country. CBS's Jeff Begay is going to lead off our coverage tonight in Minneapolis. Jeff?
Nora, 9 days ago, those four officers were responding to a forgery call here at this corner store. But tonight, they are the ones who will all be behind bars. And when this crowd out here heard that, they cheered.
We got all four! We got all four!
Today, protesters heard from prosecutors what they've been demanding. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison announced the charges against the three other officers and the upgraded murder charge for Derek Chauvin late this afternoon.
George Floyd mattered. He was loved. His family was important. His life had value. And we will seek justice for him.
I cannot breathe.
Prosecutors contend officers Thomas Lane, Alexander Kung, and Tu Tao aided and abetted in Floyd's murder as the 46-year-old was being restrained with Chauvin's knee on his neck. According to the initial criminal complaint, Officer Lane asked Chauvin, should we roll him on his side? Chauvin replied, no. A minute after Floyd becomes unresponsive, Lane said, want to roll him on his side? Kung then checked for a pulse and said, I couldn't find one. Floyd's son, Quincy Mason, reacted moments after the charges were filed.
I am happy that all the officers have been arrested. My father should not be killed like this. We deserve justice.
No justice!
All of this comes after 8 days of intense nationwide protests. Some of the most volatile demonstrations happened here in Minneapolis.
I can't breathe!
Today, reactions spread to the large crowds still gathering in the streets. But the charges against the officers is just the beginning of lengthy criminal cases and likely more heartache for the Floyd family, especially the children. CBS News' Jamie Yukis asked Floyd's 6-year-old daughter Gianna what she loved most about her father.
He used to carry on his back all the time.
Was that fun?
Uh-huh. It was super fun.
What was fun about it?
It's like you view of the sky, like an airplane.
Roxy Washington is her mother.
So she said, how did he die? And I said, he couldn't breathe.
She is, of course, referring to that cell phone video that was seen around the world tens of millions of times. It was shot right over there on that corner. Right here is where George Floyd lay. Tonight, Attorney General Ellison warned the public that this is going to be a challenge convicting police officers. Nora.
Jeff Begay is in Minneapolis tonight. Thank you. Tonight, CBS News is reporting that there have been more than 13,500 arrests in 43 cities, all related to protests. Los Angeles, Dallas, and Washington, D.C. saw spikes in arrests Monday night as police enforced curfews. CBS's Chris Van Cleve covered the protests late into the night here in Washington, and he was at a boisterous rally today outside the White House. Chris, good evening.
Nora, the crowd is still very large and very peaceful. What has changed tonight is the level of military presence here. They have pushed the crowd further back, and you can see the D.C. National Guard right here face to face with demonstrators. Behind them are some federal officers. Most of them aren't wearing identification. We think they're with the Bureau of Prisons, but they are armed and ready to fire tear gas. There are flashbang grenades. Keep in mind, this has been a peaceful protest all day long.
The other three officers are being charged.
Relief in New York City as this crowd learns all four former police officers involved in George Floyd's death will face criminal charges.
Cops have been charged in the past and not convicted, so as much as it is a step in the right direction, it's not a satisfaction that we will settle with.
In Los Angeles,
they should have been arrested right away, but better late than never.
And in Washington,
we're still not done here. It's still things that need to be done.
This is the eighth day of protest at the U.S. Capitol. Thousands lay face down for nearly 9 minutes of silence, mirroring the final moments of Floyd's life.
Why are your hands red?
Our hands are red because the blood is on the police hands.
Nandy Taylor has been protesting since Monday.
We are not giving up. We are not going anywhere. We will show up every day until Black Lives Matter.
Thursday, Virginia's governor is expected to announce a prominent statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in Richmond will be removed. Most protests stayed peaceful overnight. But there were pockets of violence in Portland, reports of looting in New York City, and in St. Louis, mourning. David Dorn, a retired police captain, was shot dead while trying to protect a friend's pawn shop from being looted overnight Monday.
I just hope that the person that did this, that they come forth or whatever, because this is just so senseless. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired.
Here in Washington, there's a feel of a city under siege. Heavily armored National Guard Humvees block roads.
Hands up, don't shoot!
And this striking sight, as the curfew kicked in Tuesday, demonstrators on the National Mall were met by soldiers filling the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. No clear reason for why the military presence has been amped up so much for this demonstration tonight. Its notice will be different than last night, where they were kept behind a fence and largely out of sight. We can tell you that there is talk of a massive demonstration on Saturday. Nora?
All right, Chris Van Cleve there near the White House. Thank you. Tonight, there are questions about how long Mark Esper will remain as Secretary of Defense after he broke with President Trump on using active duty military in American cities. Also tonight, the man that Esper succeeded, former Marine General James Mattis, is turning on the president, accusing him of misusing the military and dividing the country. CBS's Paula Reed is at the White House tonight. It's an extraordinary number of developments, Paula.
Extraordinary indeed. Nora, Secretary Esper's decision to publicly disagree with President Trump over the use of active duty military did not go over well inside the White House. President Trump and his defense secretary are at odds tonight over the decision to call up active military to police protests.
The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now.
The president disagrees. He called up nearly 1,600 active duty soldiers, now staging at four bases outside Washington. A decision to send them home today was called off, according to a U.S. official, because of the potential for more violence.
We have to have a dominant force. Maybe it doesn't sound good to say it, but you have to have a dominant force. We need law and order.
The show of force in cities like Washington has been called excessive by critics. Some of those heavily armed personnel wear no uniforms, signifying who they work for. A surprising sight on the streets today, DEA agents, who by law can only deal with drug-related crimes. But Attorney General Bill Barr has granted them extraordinary powers, saying that for the next 14 days, they can conduct covert surveillance and protect against threats to public safety. Meanwhile, the White House continues to defend the violent removal of protesters from Lafayette Park, allowing the president to walk to St. John's Church for a photo op. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany compared it to iconic moments during World War II and 9/11.
And like Churchill, we saw him inspecting the bombing damage. It sent a powerful message of leadership to the British people, and George W. Bush throwing out the ceremonial first pitch after 9/11.
Former Defense Secretary General James Mattis, who has not publicly criticized the president in the 18 months since he resigned, issued a statement late today denouncing President Trump as a threat to the Constitution and suggested that he is trying to divide Americans. Nora.
Incredible to hear that from General Mattis. Paula, thank you. And as he left office, former President Barack Obama said he would only speak out publicly if he believed the nation's core values were at stake. That moment came today when Obama used a virtual town hall to urge young people to channel their anger into political action. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports tonight from Washington.
All of the nation's living former presidents have now weighed in on the death of George Floyd. Former President Barack Obama did so today, directly addressing police brutality and those it affects.
Too often, some of that violence has come from folks who were supposed to be serving and protecting. You. I want you to know that you matter. I want you to know that your lives matter, that your dreams matter.
The former president also said he's encouraged by the diversity of Americans protesting in the streets.
There is a change in mindset that's taking place, a greater recognition that we can do better.
Mr. Obama's comments follow remarkably frank statements from his predecessors. Former President George W. Bush, whose relationship with black Americans was strained by the federal response to Hurricane Katrina, said he was, quote, anguished by the brutal suffocation of George Floyd.
Former President Bill Clinton, who enjoyed strong support from African Americans, said no one deserves to die the way Floyd did. And the truth is, if you're white in America, the chances are you won't. And former President Jimmy Carter said today that as a white male of the South, I know all too well the impact of segregation and injustice to African Americans. In times of crisis, presidents often lean on their predecessors for advice or to help raise awareness or charitable support. But in the last 3 years, President Trump has done very little of that. Nora?
Ed O'Keefe, thank you. From former presidents, we turn now to a new generation of civil rights activists committed to picking up the torch. CBS's Jim Axelrod spoke with two young men about their work and their hopes for the future.
Yeah! In O'Fallon, Missouri, Ryan Staples was about to lead a protest march when he saw the police chief, Tim Clothier.
I said, lock arms with me, chief, and let's go.
That must have been quite a moment for you.
It was probably the best moment I've ever had in my entire life.
No justice!
Just 4 days before, this 18-year-old graduated high school.
I was at work and I just pulled up my phone and I saw a lot of violence occurring in cities across the nation. And I texted my friends and I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna start a protest.
Hoping to become a civil rights lawyer, Staples relies on the past to chart his future.
It just felt so empowering to realize that I am doing what my ancestors did before me, and I'm a part of the change that's coming.
This has probably been one of the toughest weeks, like, of my life.
First ever protest, you hear that?
Mike Griffin has been working on that change for the last 15 years as a community organizer in Minneapolis.
I'm gonna be out there in these streets every single day, protesting, organizing, and getting people to vote.
As he does his work, Griffin often thinks of his 92-year-old grandfather, a minister, and a leader of the Montgomery bus boycott 65 years ago.
Black folks in this country has advanced through being well-organized, through protesting, and through voting. How we protest in America is in our DNA.
It's certainly in Ryan Staples.
The youth is so passionate about change in society that they just need someone to spearhead it.
No justice!
On the streets of America this week, that next generation is emerging. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, Montclair, New Jersey.
Tonight, the Trump administration says five companies, four of them American, are among the most likely candidates to produce a coronavirus vaccine. And that vaccine can't come soon enough, especially as Americans are packed close together at demonstrations nationwide. Here's CBS's Carter Evans.
At packed protests around the country, thousands shoulder to shoulder, many without masks. Exactly what we've been told not to do in this time of COVID.
I am seriously worried about what's going to happen, you know, 10 days from now when we start to see those cases rise dramatically.
That concern now highlighted in a new study in The Lancet, which found that without a mask, the risk of transmitting COVID is more than 17%. With a mask, it drops to 3%.
We gotta stop this!
And while the hugs between police and protesters and loud cries of support might be heartwarming,
this is our city!
People out there screaming at the top of their lungs, this can't be a good thing.
The more droplets that go into the air, the more the potential for spread.
Even more serious, research shows the virus itself may discriminate.
You know, the paradox here is that we're protesting because of unequal treatment. At the same time, this virus is saying, I don't care that you're African American. I'm going to disproportionately affect you.
Out here at this rally in Hollywood, you can see there is virtually no social distancing. That's leading for some states to call for both protesters and police who attend these rallies to get tested for COVID-19. Nora?
Carter Evans, thank you. The great American poet Langston Hughes wrote, "Let America be America again," more than eight decades ago. But it is still relevant in a nation struggling to live up to its promise of freedom and equality. We asked Haley Love, a 17-year-old poet and the founder of a nonprofit for minority students in Chicago, to read it for us.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. Oh, let America be America again. The land that never has been yet, and yet must be. The land where every man is free. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green states, and make America again.
The words of Langston Hughes, still very relevant today. Tomorrow, we'll report from Minneapolis as the community comes together for a memorial service honoring the life of George Floyd. That is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell in Washington. Thanks for watching. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.